Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Revelation. Now to Pastor Chris.
Revelation chapter 3 today on Through the Word, as Jesus speaks directly to his church, and you and I get a guided tour through church history in advance. Well, advance when Jesus spoke it. It's past for us. Chapters 2 and 3 have seven letters to seven churches sent from Jesus to his church. These were real churches in 95 AD, but each church bears an uncanny resemblance to the Christian church in a particular period in history. Now, to be clear on this, the text never says these were about the future, but to me, the matchup is beyond coincidence. So, you decide for yourself, but more importantly, you and I should take these to heart about ourselves, about our churches. We all have issues, and Jesus has direction. Now, this whole book is about revealing Jesus. In the church age, Jesus reveals himself to and through the church. Do you remember when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And when they got it right, he said, "On this rock I will build my church." What rock? Who he is. The foundation of the church is who Jesus is. And so to each church, Jesus reveals an element of who he is. He's rebuilding their foundation. Letter number 4 is for the church of Sardis. Sardis is a church with a solid reputation. They look alive. But in verse 1, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." A good reputation. Everyone says this church is great, but Jesus says, "You're dead. Wake up." These are strong words. The word reputation here also means name, and the Greek is onoma, which is where we get the word denomination. I believe that Sardis is a picture of the Protestant church, the Reformation, and the era of denominations from the 1500s to 1700s, and in many ways to today. In verse 1, Jesus holds the seven spirits of God. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is what makes the church alive, but so many churches just seem to forget about the Holy Spirit. The church has a good name, and it looks lively, but without the Spirit, they're dead. In verse 2, Jesus says, "Wake up, I have found your deeds unfinished." That means the work isn't done. The Reformation began in the 1500s. As Martin Luther and many others protested the excesses of the church and returned to the Bible and to grace. It changed the course of history, but did they finish the work? In verse 3, "Remember, therefore, what you have received." What did they receive? They received the Bible, the gospel of grace. But where is the Bible now? In too many churches, it sits in the pew, unopened, while theologians study and argue endlessly over which part Jesus really said. It's kind of like this one night in college. I set my alarm for 3 a.m. to get some work done. But in my dream, every time I hit the snooze button, I was accomplishing something for 3 hours. Jesus says, "Wake up. You think you're accomplishing something, but you're dreaming." But then in verse 4, "Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes." Once again, Jesus calls the church to overcome and promises great reward. Listen, I grew up in dead denominationalism. Most of my generation did, and most of us left. The average age today in many denominations is over 60. They are literally dying off. It's time to wake up and finish the work. Church number 6 is Philadelphia. Philadelphia woke up. For this church, Jesus holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. That open door led out of the church and into the world. Philadelphia is the missionary church. Philadelphia means city of brotherly love, and historically, this is the church that loved their brother enough to share the gospel. Two big events in the 1700s and 1800s, the Great Awakening and the missionary movement. Passion returned to preaching, and the Bible came alive again. Edwards and Whitfield, Spurgeon and Moody. In verse 8, Jesus says, "You have kept my word and have not denied my name." And the church took that word to the world. Missionaries, for the first time in centuries, hit the world. William Carey, Gladys Allward, Hudson Taylor, and so many more. An open door that none can shut. And brotherly love, rescuing the poor, feeding children, freeing slaves, the last and the least were reached, helped, and saved. If I could recommend one thing to fire up your faith, read missionary biographies. I read them with my kids at bedtime. I love it. Philadelphia is the church to be. Three keys here: the open door of missions, teaching the word of God, and of course, brotherly love. Without love, it's all empty. The seventh church, and last church, is Laodicea, the apathetic church. This brings us to the present. I only know a few atheists, but I know a lot of apatheists, especially in church. So many people just don't care. Jesus calls them lukewarm. Every generation needs a revolution, and boy do we. Laodicea means ruled by the people, like democracy, which sounds great. But when the people vote to overrule God's word, that's trouble. All right, everybody, we took a vote and we decided there is no hell. God doesn't judge anymore. Sin is a relative term. And Jesus never said that he's God. And, oh yeah, he never rose from the dead either. Okay, church, whatever. I didn't really care anyway. That's apathy. That last part was an impression of me, by the way. Teenage me. I went to church. I just didn't care. To the apathetic church that tries to outvote the Bible, Jesus says, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation." Amen means Jesus is the last word. Jesus rules. Jesus calls the church lukewarm. Verse 16, "So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Jesus says that our apathy is disgusting. Just spit it out. So why doesn't this church care? 17. You say, "I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing." See, Laodicea thinks that it's rich. Why care when I have all I need? There's a dangerous move in the modern church to focus on worldly wealth. Listen, God wants you rich in heaven. Wealth on earth is not a sin, but it is dangerous. Jesus tells us, "But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You're poor, no treasure in heaven. You're blind, you can't even see how bad you are. You're naked, you sin, and you're not even ashamed. Get your riches from Jesus, gold refined in the fire, like faith, hope, and love, refined by trials and lasting forever. Jesus has salve to open our eyes, and white robes, that's his righteousness. So stop sinning and start caring." And then Jesus says something profound. "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." And that goes for every church. Jesus loves his church. He loves us enough to say what hurts and heals. And he says, "So be earnest and repent." Earnest means genuine, real. Quit the hypocrisy. The literal translation is ignite yourselves. Take your worthless apathy and set your faith on fire. Now, I realize that I've said some strong words here. I think because no one said them to me. I was the apatheist. I went to church and I just didn't care at all. And no one challenged me. But then someone did say something. It was Jesus. Seriously. It was in London. I won a trip on the radio to go see Van Halen. True story. While I was there, I visited St. Paul's Cathedral. To me, it was an old dead church. Beautiful, but dead. But a painting on the wall caught me. Jesus was outside an old shack knocking on a door. And below the painting was Revelation 3:20. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." It was the first Bible verse that ever grabbed my heart. In the painting, that old shack was my old apathetic heart, and Jesus was knocking. Seven letters, seven different churches, and seven times the call to hear. And this time, if you will hear Jesus' voice and open the door, he will make himself at home and share a meal with you. 2,000 years of church history, movements and revivals have come and gone. What about today? Every generation needs their own revolution. Every generation needs a fresh revelation.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.